Good evening, everyone. I will call this meeting to order. This is a regular meeting of the Programs and Services Committee. It is Wednesday, February 23rd. We have two items on our agenda for this evening. Present at the start of the meeting from Ward 1, Ward Councilor Maria Greenberg. From Ward 2, President Albright. From Ward 3, Councilor Pam Wright. I'm Josh Grinsman from Ward 4. I'm the chair of the committee. From Ward 5, we have Councilor Bill Humphrey. The first item on our agenda is 133-22. This is a petition to expand the area represented by the Newton Highlands Area Council. The petition, for those of you who may or may not know, under the city charter, there is a process for expanding reconfiguring the size of an area council or the geography covered by an area council. We may hear more about that from our presenters. I don't know, but essentially, it involves getting a required number of signatures from those in the area who wish to be part of the area neighborhood area council. And then the process to is to have a public hearing, and then the city council can determine whether to agree with the expansion, contraction, change in the area covered by the neighborhood area council. So I'm going to mispronounce it because I always do, but Sergeant Nijelkovic, you have filed this petition, you collected the signatures. I want to give you an opportunity to speak about this, and then we will receive public comments.
Sure, well, thank you very much. And I'd like to introduce Jeremy Freudberg to the group here. Jeremy lives on Clark Street, and he actually brought this item to the attention of the Area Council a couple of months ago. It turned out that the maps that were on the city website included Clark Street as a street that's part of the area council. And yet when Jeremy went to vote for area council member, it turned out that he wasn't in the area council after all, because by the rules, the street is in the area council based on the numbers, the properties, you know, the house numbers. And it turned out that Clark Street actually, his section of Clark Street actually wasn't in the area council, even though it appeared on the map. And so we went back and looked at all the various board orders that took place, you know, dating back to the 70s. And I believe it was our intention to include Clark Street when we expanded the area council back in 2013. And somehow it appeared on the map, but it never got registered by the board order based on street number. And so all these years from 2013 till now, the map that's been on the city website has been inaccurate. It shouldn't have included that segment of Clark Street. My apologies, my phone is ringing.
Probably people watching on New TV, just trying to have their voices heard as well. But I mean, this is a hot topic, but please go ahead.
Okay, super. We went ahead and so Jeremy and I talked it over, brought it up to the area council meeting. The bottom line is there was interest for people who live on Clark Street, basically the section from, and you guys all know Clark Street is the street that has the speed bumps. Everybody knows of Clark Street is the street that has the speed bumps. And basically from Center Street all the way down to Route 9 to include that into the area council officially. And so rather than petitioning the city council and saying, well, there was an error and this and that, we just decided to go out and get the signatures as if it was never in the area council. It was never, as it was never originally intended, although we believe that it was intended, you know, 8 years ago or 9 years ago. And so we went ahead Christmas week and, you know, it's kind of a tough week to get signatures. Nobody's around. Nonetheless, we were able to get the required signatures. And then we also discovered, looking at all the different board orders and the maps and whatnot, there was a house on Elliott Street on the border of the Highlands and Upper Falls that was part of the original board order for the area council, but at some point the house was converted into a duplex. And so now half of the house remains in the area council by board order from 1970s. And the other half, that address didn't exist in the 1970s. So it technically isn't. So we figured while we're at it, let's just, fix that little problem and just include the whole house rather than just half the house in the area council. And then there were just some adjacent houses on Clark that seemed to make sense because they were adjacent to other houses, but they happened to be on Athelstane or on, I think Rowena was the other street. Anyway, so we got the signatures and you guys have the map. It's in the in the agenda, and you probably saw it, but there's a map that has a circle around it of all the houses that would be added, and then plus that one over on Elliott Street on the border between Upper Falls and Newton Highlands. And that's basically it. That's the request. And we hope that you'll consider it and go ahead and approve it. But Jeremy, do you have any other comments to make?
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't I basically wanted to let you introduce it. Then what we have to do is have a public hearing. So you'll each get an opportunity to speak for a few minutes about however you want. Just in terms of sort of factual, this information is in the packet, but according to the charter, you need 20% of the signatures of the eligible voters to have signed the petition for the neighborhood area council. My understanding is that there were, I want to say 97 eligible voters identified in the area encompassed in this proposed expansion, requiring, I think the math was like 19.4 signatures, and there are 20 signatures that were obtained by the proponents here. So my understanding is that they have met the requirements for the expansion. We're now about to undergo the public hearing, and then it'll be up to the city council on how to act on that petition. So with that, let me officially open a public hearing here and see, are there any members of the public who wish to speak on this topic? I see Jeremy Freudberg has his hand up. Mr. Freudberg, please go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I think Serge did a great job covering it. I do live on Clark Street, 102 Clark Street to be precise. And as Serge said, there seemed to be some discrepancy going back many years, about how much of Clark Street is included within the boundaries. The original, back in the 70s, it was the Hyde School District, so that only went till 33 Clark. But at some point, I mean, as far back as 2005, this error started to show up. It's not really clear how, but it's an error in my favor, I guess, because I live on Clark Street and I identify with Newton Highlands, and I think the area council does a great job. And I think that everyone I talked to who I got the signatures from was at least a little bit excited about it, as far as being represented. So that's pretty much it. We got our signatures. I think we actually got 28, which is more than enough. And I hope that you approve this.
Thank you.
One more thing. The area council also voted unanimously at their February meeting to send this petition to you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Serge, I think you sufficiently comment. You feel okay?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that we got 28 signatures, actually, but Jeremy just said that, so.
Did I say you got 20?
I think you mentioned 20.
Okay. I think 20 was 20 the rounded required number of signatures, which you exceeded, right? Yeah. Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak on this topic? Okay. A motion to close the public hearing would be in order if someone wanted
to. So moved.
Councilor Humphrey has moved to close the public hearing. Any discussion on that motion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Pam. That is 5-0, Nathan.
It's excuse me. It's 4-1.
No.
Councilor Wright was a yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought she said she was opposed. My apologies. Yes, that's 5-0 in favor of closing public hearing.
Yep. Thank you. So the public hearing is closed. Committee members, we can proceed to the merits of this question if folks feel ready, or we can take this under advisement and bring it up at a later time. Any motion is, motion to hold, motion to Councilor Humphrey?
Well, as one of the ward councilors that has this area council as part of my ward, even though this specific area is not part of my ward and Councilor Noel is not here, I'm happy to make a motion to adopt this change.
So you'd like to move approval of the expansion as proposed by the proponents?
Yep.
Okay. Councilor Humphrey has moved approval. Any discussion on that motion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye. Oh, I'm sorry, President Albright. I apologize. I didn't see your hand. President Albright.
That's okay. I just wanted to thank Jeremy for bringing this to our attention. And you know, this is civic engagement at its best. You know, you started something and here we're finishing it for you.
It was my pleasure.
And Jeremy, if I'm not mistaken, you have relatives in the city who live in the best ward, right? Over in Ward 4.
My goodness. Don't put that in the record, Nathan.
Councillor Humphrey has moved to strike my comments from the record. Any discussion on that motion? Okay. Sorry. So we have a motion to approve on the table. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that is 5-0. Committee has approved the expansion. We'll go to the full city council. But Serge and Jeremy, thank you guys very much for bringing this to our attention. Appreciate it. I will note that you mentioned a couple times board orders, and normally I correct people and say council orders, but in this instance, it was 100% accurate because those were in fact board orders that you had referenced. So that was very exciting to me.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. We're not going to be upset if you log off and don't join us for the second night.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Thank you, and have a good rest of the week, everyone.
You too.
Thank you. You too. Enjoy the skiing.
Thank you. You as well.
Just double check you on who made that motion again. I just had
Councilor Humphrey. I did.
Bill. Okay. He was also to close a public hearing.
Yes.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Councilor Humphrey is very active this evening. The second and final item on our agenda is item 173-22. This is a request to transfer $165,000 from current year budget reserve. This was filed by Her Honor the Mayor. Mark, I can only assume that you are here to discuss this item.
Yes, I am. Commissioner Banks is on vacation. She's asked me to speak to this item.
Please go ahead.
Okay. So in front of you, we are... I'll give a brief history. So we have in the city about 360 locations where we have waste receptacle barrels. Half of them are for recycling and the other half for general waste. About 5-6 years ago, we migrated from a basic trash barrel to a solar powered compacting smart waste receptacle. The benefits of these units was it allowed us to track what barrels needed emptying, which ones didn't. It reduced the amount of trips, reduced our carbon footprint, our vehicle trips to these locations. Also allowed us to respond more quickly if a unit was overflowing or not functioning properly. It was new technology back then, and it was something that was very beneficial for the community. But what we've found since then is that they may or may not be as useful as they could be. There are a lot of maintenance that goes with them and a downside to them. So one of the things that we've looked at recently is trying to find, is there a suitable replacement, a hybrid kind of, if you will, something with the sensing technology that allows us to report on what we're emptying, the amount of recycling we're taking in, and know when things are full or not full, and to be more efficient with our staffing, but that doesn't have the downside or the problems that we have with the current system. So what's before you is the first phase of a potential transition to getting rid of our big bellies, as they are called, is the brand that they are, to a more conventional waste receptacle, but that has the sensing technology. So what we've done this past summer, we took a few of our big belly locations and changed them to a smart waste receptacle that we're looking at and to try them out. And so far they worked very well for us. So the purpose of this was to take and look at expanding that process to what would be our first phase for replacing the big bellies with this new style smart waste receptacle. And what we're hoping to do is gain more knowledge if this is the direction that we want to go citywide, or it only makes sense in certain locations and certain applications. the beauty of this system is that is we currently lease, we currently rent our trash receptacles for about $200,000 a year for our full system, a little more than $200,000 actually. And the idea is that we would transition away from a lease model to ownership. And these receptacles that we're looking at are certainly more cost effective over their lifespan than the current system we have. So what we're looking to do is purchase 76 new barrels. Half will be recycling and half will be waste collection. And they'll be strategically placed in all areas in the city in different applications, whether it's in city squares, parks, or other busy areas, to really determine if this is the direction that we would like to go. And our hope is that it will work out well and that over the next couple of years, we'll be able to transition to this new system.
Thank you very much. Let me see if any of the folks on the committee have any questions. President Albright's hand. President Albright, let's
go ahead. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Welsh. It feels funny to call you that, but.
It does.
So this will save, how much of the, where we, how much less will we pay for the remaining big bellies? Is it like a quarter less?
Not, so it'll end up right now with just this phase one. We'll save about $36,000 a year.
36, is that what you said? 36?
Yep, 36.
And I forget how the, well, how many do we have altogether? I forget what you said. I couldn't.
We have 360 total units, although they are usually paired up. So it ends up being about 180 locations where we have our barrel setups.
Okay. I'm surprised we're not saving more if it costs $200,000 for the whole shebang.
So we're only doing the 76 locations, 76 total receptacles at like it's about 35, 38 locations.
Okay. So all right. So
we're taking away 30. We're only taking away 30 total big belly setups. And there's different pricing because one's a compacting unit, one's not a compacting unit for the big bellies, for the ones we're taking out.
So it won't do compacting anymore, but it'll tell you when it's full.
Correct. Yeah. One of the things that we found with our compacting units is just, it's a weight thing. Despite the fact that the company wants you to believe that you can fit more material in there, which you absolutely can. But once you fill it up, you can't lift it. You can't, the employees can't get the barrel out or the container out to empty it. So we still have to pick them up when they're partially compacted. We can't wait for them to be full.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So in the choice between different barrels and stronger employees, we're going with different barrels.
Okay. In this case, yeah, they weigh about 100 pounds when they're full.
Makes sense. I see Councillor Greenberg followed by Councillor Wright. Councillor Greenberg.
Well, thank you, Chair. Mr. Walsh, I'm so happy that we're transitioning from the big bellies because I often find that many of the barrels are full, but are still flashing green and not red. And it's impossible to even open the container to put something in it. I find that happens frequently. So I'm glad we're going to a better system. Is this a trial or is this definitely the style that the city is going to choose?
This is really the first phase. I anticipate us moving in this direction. And that was one of the reasons where what you're pointing out to is one of the issues we have is jammed hoppers that and jammed doors creating, you know, them being full, but or acting like they're full, for the user, but they're not actually full. This system, you don't have to touch the doors. You can just throw it in like you would a normal waste container and it allows us to the sensors to report those issues to us.
That's great. Could you describe what it looks like? Is it like an open top or?
It is more like a traditional, I think in the materials you provide, there might be a little bit of a picture, but it's a regular round barrel that will have a small rain bonnet on top to keep the water from getting in. That's also where the sensor is located. Right. But it's It's kind of what I would think of when you think of a public rubbish barrel. It's round and has a hole in the top with a little cover, but you don't have to touch anything.
Oh, that's great.
There is a picture in the materials, but it's hard to see because I think black and white, or at least the way it's scanned online. To see the picture.
All right. Thank you so much.
Councilor Greenberg.
I appreciate it. Thank you. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Councilor Wright.
Thank you. I just have two questions. So you're doing half and half trash and recycle. Is it really half and half what you're finding in the parks? Or I would think there'd be more recycles, you know, people bringing drink bottles or whatever versus regular trash.
So for this, for what we're doing now, it is half and half. And this is not just parks, it's parks and city squares and a couple other. I think we're going to do one outside one city building. Just to get a full idea of the use of it. For us, for our collection, it does boil down to being about half and half. We work really hard at educating folks, but some folks tend to throw recyclables in some of our barrels. So right now, it is half and half.
Are they going to be placed right next to each other, trash and recycle?
Yes, and they'll be very similar to where now the two big bellies are connected to one another in the locations where we'll have the two barrels, the recycling and the conventional trash. They'll actually be connected to each other, right next to each other, with signage, we have decals that go on the barrels, and there's a differentiation in the color of the tops to signify recycling versus non-recycling.
Okay. And, so there seems to be a bunch of different issues with the big bellies. Do you see any problems or possible issues with these new barrels?
We don't anticipate any major issues. The one piece of this that is a little bit the unknown is that they are a slightly different capacity. So we don't know, it's more of a trial of finding out. We're going to station double barrels in some places. And the question is, do we really need to do the double barrel, or could it be a single barrel, one recycling, one trash, instead of two trash, two recycling in our highest use areas? That's really the only question mark that's left for us to really figure out.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilor Wright. I don't see any other hands, so I'm just going to ask a couple questions if I could, Mr. Welch. I think it sounds like the 30 locations, or is it 15 locations?
It's 30. That's an excellent question. Let me look at my notes here.
Because
I think it's 30. It's going to be 30 locate 30.
Okay.
Maybe 32 locations, but it's at least 30.
If you have those, it sounds like you have those locations picked out, and I'm not in a position to question those locations at all, nor would I. If you have those, it would be helpful to distribute those. I don't know if other councilors feel that way, but I think it might be helpful for us to know, so that especially we can let people know, you know, in our areas that there's going to be a change, or in these locations, they can expect this. I think it was about 4 months out, the turnaround time between city council approval till we have these things on the streets.
Yeah, it's going to take some time.
Okay, so if you have those, I would just request that you send us that list of,
yep,
you know, maps that. Of where those locations are going to be, so that we can let folks know. I am supportive of this. I think it's great. I suspect that, you know, in 5 to 10 years at the end of the life of this equipment, we'll have another situation that we have to address, but that's fine. That's par for the course. I think we're seeing the benefits that we don't have to address that with the big bellies because we lease them. And when we own the equipment, if it goes... if it becomes defunct or doesn't function as well, we'll have to deal with that at the time. I suppose we'll have to dispose of them, which I guess presumably.
Yeah, well, the good in this case compared to a big belly setup. Well, I suppose the sensor will have technology in it, but the rest of it is steel. It's iron. It'll recycle well.
Excellent. Thank you. So yeah, if you don't mind sending that information, I think that would be helpful.
We can do that.
I see no other comments. Did anyone want to make any sort of a motion here to perhaps kick off the 4 month period or get us closer to the beginning of the 4 months?
Well, I'll move approval.
Councillor Albright, President Albright has moved approval. Any discussion on the motion? Great. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of approval, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? That is 5-0 for a unanimous approval. Thank you, Mr. Welch.
Thank you very much.
Again, I would appreciate if you send that information around just so we can make sure, but good luck with the Finance Committee and onward.
Excellent. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we as a committee, that concludes our business for the night. So I do want to thank you all for coming. We have not a lot of pressing items, at least that are ready to go before us at the moment. So we'll have to see what the schedule looks like in March. I'll let you guys know as soon as possible. Nathan and I were talking a little bit about it today. But the meetings may be a little light in March. We'll see. We may talk about, Nathan, correct me if I'm wrong, we may talk about scheduling an additional night in April to meet particularly on a couple of ISD topics, noise, leaf blowers, in part because in March, Commissioner Lojack is on vacation, I think during the time of both of our meetings. We're not sure about Chief Carmichael's availability, but we did want to have a couple of, or at least have that hearing, hopefully prior to May.
Mr. Lojack is coming back from vacation on Friday. He's been away for 3 weeks. So I think he's going to be here in March.
Okay. Well, if the 23rd works, then that's great. I know we couldn't do it on the 9th because Councillor Baker was going to be unavailable and really wanted to be here for those meetings. And I intended to honor that request. And then what happens is come April, we get into budget. So you may be hearing from us looking to schedule an additional meeting if we can't get it in March. If we can, that would be good. Because like I said, I think it's something we want to try and do before May when leaf blower rules change. And we want to get a better sense of how the city plans to enforce. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
I just wanted to check, are we having a meeting on March 2nd? Because it's not on the calendar, but I thought at one point I had seen it on the calendar.
I don't think we have a meeting scheduled for March 2nd.
Okay.
No. The next council meeting isn't until March 7th, I think.
Okay.
Nathan, is that right? You don't have a meeting scheduled for the 2nd, right?
Yeah, because I think that might have just been an error in one of the earlier calendar drafts.
Okay, that makes sense. And
tentatively scheduled are the 9th and the 23rd for March.
As for other potential agenda items before the budget season, Carol had mentioned, Clerk Moore had mentioned a few potential election-related discussion items on a number of topics that we could maybe fit in before then, but I don't know. You'd have to talk to her.
Okay, do you know if they've been docketed?
Not yet. This was I was just in her office earlier today talking about a bunch of different things and like finally bringing up the dog license thing that we've been talking about for a couple of years and so forth. Sure. So,
okay. Yeah. No, that's helpful to know. Thank you. I had been going through the list of filed docket items and seeing what was ready to go to try and lay out a schedule for us through the budget. So that's helpful to know that those are out there.
The budget season is going to go from what to what, roughly?
Mid-April to the end of May.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Enjoy the snow. We can adjourn and enjoy the rest of your school vacation week.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.